I pray at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. So has anybody figured out that we're talking about love today? We're continuing in our series. This is going to be the last Sunday before Advent starts. So this is going to be our last sermon for a while in our series of messages based on your favorite Bible passages. And somebody had written down that their favorite Bible passage was 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. That's something that you see on a lot of signs, and you see on a lot of samplers, and you see on a lot of those kinds of things. It's one of those verses that we remember and we like to remember, and we like to bring it to mind, and it gives us comfort, usually. Now, the love we're talking about here in particular, in case you know, for those of you who may not know, in the Greek language, which is the language that the New Testament of the Bible was written in, there are three words for love. Three words for love. There's eros, which is erotic love. There is philos, which is brotherly love. And there is agape, which is perfect love. Agape is the kind of love we're talking about here. To make those three kinds of love simpler, there was somebody had mentioned to me a while back, a good way to remember the difference between those is eros says, I love you because of what you can do for me. Philos says, I love you because of who you are. And agape says, I love you anyway. Who doesn't like to be loved anyway? I know sometimes I need to be loved anyway. Does anyone here happen to be familiar with J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings? There's a character in that story. Well, the story is about a little hobbit fellow who has this ring and he needs to destroy it. Frodo. I keep getting Frodo and Bilbo confused. Frodo Baggins is his name. And he's given the quest to take this ring to a volcano and throw it into the volcano so it'll be destroyed because the ring's corrupt and bad magic power, blah, blah, blah. But he's got a little companion with him whose name is Samwise Ganges. And Sam, I think, is the real hero of the story because Bilbo wouldn't make it. Bilbo's got to carry this ring, but Sam carries Bilbo. Frodo. Sam carries Frodo. And I heard somebody once say, you know, Sam is really the kind of friend everybody wants to have because he goes through all of this for his friend without expecting anything in return. It's the greatest example of agape love, and everybody wants a friend like Sam, but hardly anybody wants to be a friend like Sam. There's a reason that out of faith, hope, and love, love is the greatest. There's a reason for that. Faith really is pretty easy. To be honest with you, faith is easy. You know, we as Christians, I think pretty much all of us here, grew up in the church. And as children, we get told things and we believe them. It's pretty easy to convince kids of anything. There are some things we convinced Ruby of when she was very small. It's getting harder now that she's a teenager. But there were things when she was very small that it was pretty easy to convince her of. But everybody has faith to some degree. Maybe not faith in God, as we do, hopefully. But even people who don't have faith in God seem to have faith in something. They believe in something. Maybe themselves. Maybe science. Something. There's always a faith in something. Hope might be a little harder than faith to have, but we have hope. We look forward to, for the most part, what's to come. We look forward to it. We have hope. Everybody seems to have hope to some degree. Hope that things are going to get better, even in a bad time. Hope that things will get better. But love is tough. Now, as I said, this particular verse comes from the end of 1 Corinthians 13, which we refer to as the love chapter, which we often hear recited at weddings. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole thing for you right now because I want to get this in perspective. Now, as we're thinking about this, think about love. Think about who you love. Does everybody love somebody? Everybody has somebody that they love. Let's see. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have no love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but have no love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. True so far? Nobody has any issues with this? Here's where it gets hard. Love is patient. Really? Love is patient. Are you patient with the person that you love? Sometimes we're more patient than other times. Love is kind. Are you kind to the person you love? It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Wow, love is hard, isn't it? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part that we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You see why love is greater now? Because it's got the patience, and it's got the not self-seekingness, and it's got all those things. And those things are hard. Those things are hard, even with the people you're supposed to love. Even with the people you're supposed to love, hard. That's why love is the greatest of these things. And here's the real kicker. We're not just called to love that person that we're supposed to love. We're called to love everybody. Jesus even said we're supposed to love our enemies. And he used that agape love, the A word. Sometimes it's hard to see that, and it's hard to do. It's hard to love your enemies. I remember the time that this really hit closest to me, shortly after 9/11, when the United States started getting involved in Operation Desert Storm, I think they called it back then. I spent a lot of time praying for our troops. It seemed important to me to do that. It seemed important to me to pray for our troops. And one day when I was finishing up praying for our troops, that verse really came to mind, to love our enemies. When we had finally heard the name Osama bin Laden, aren't you going to pray for him? Aren't you going to pray for him? Well, no, was my first response. I'm not going to pray for him. He's the enemy. Oh, yeah, we're supposed to love our enemies and pray for them. And that got really hard. It was really hard for me to pray for him the first couple of times. And then it got easier as I understood why he was the enemy. I prayed that he would come to know Jesus the way I know Jesus. Because once that happens, he's not the enemy anymore. I really had a burden for that. I really and fervently prayed for that for a long time. And I don't know that that prayer was ever answered the way I hoped for it to be answered, but it really helped me to grow. And it put me into a position where I think I can experience that agape love to some point, to the point where I can be patient and kind and not envy and not boast and all of those things. It gave me that strength. And it's hard. It's hard sometimes, especially on days like today. I think the Sunday before Thanksgiving is National Drive Like an Idiot Day. We ran into some, well, we didn't actually run into them, but figuratively ran into, close to actually running into some people who were not using their best judgment, maybe not paying attention fully to where they were going. It is generous, but I'm trying to be loving. We've all been there. We've all been there. Yeah, we have to love that guy too. Oh, no, not him. I've heard it said that the way you can tell who the real Christians are is not who goes into the church, and it's not who comes out of the church. It's in the parking lot after church. That's when you can tell who the Christians are. Because that can be a very scary place, the parking lot after church. Because especially, you know, those typical, you know, those churches over on Route 8 where they all get out at 12 o'clock and everybody wants to get to King's before it's full. That's when you can tell who the Christians are. That's who you, when you can tell who's got that agape love in their hearts. I remember once having that worry. I was downtown at the, what's the big thing that used to be there with the big dome? What? The Civic Arena. The big thing with the dome. It's not there anymore. I was down there for the Men of Integrity Conference, which is a Christian men's thing. So you've got 15,000 Christian men in this thing, and we had this beautiful worship service, and we listened to like a whole bunch of talks going on through the night, and we got out of there late at night. It was my friend Eric and I. We came out. I was going to give him a ride home. We got in the car, and I immediately thought, oh, it's going to be a nightmare getting out of here. And it wasn't. It wasn't. Because after that huge, powerful worship experience, everybody had this love, and everybody's just like waving everybody else on. If anything, you know, traffic might have got backed up because people were trying to be more polite than everybody else, rather than trying to cut in and cause an accident. Lots of patience, lots of kindness, no pride, no rudeness, no self-seeking, no anger. Traffic moved smoothly, and you don't see that a lot. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love, and the greatest is love. There's no question about that, because it's this agape love. When you can get that, when you can get to there, and it's hard, nothing beats it. You know, that's the love that God has for us. It's the love He has for us. See, He's forgiven us everything. Yeah, even that. He's forgiven. Whether you believe it or not, He's forgiven it. And we have a hard time forgiving sometimes anything. He forgave us before we asked. And we have a hard time with it. And it is hard. There's another verse that's coming to mind, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to find it real quick. I may have to just summarize it if it's not right where I think it is. I'm just going to summarize it. After the resurrection and after Peter was having a hard time with the fact that he had denied Christ three times. We hear this story all the time around Easter. Peter had denied Christ three times, and he was very sorrowful. And after Jesus came back, he came before Peter and asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And he used the agape word. "Do you agape me?" Peter said, "Lord, you know I love you." But he used the word philos. "I love you like a brother. Do you love me unconditionally? You know I love you like a brother." Does anybody here have a brother? You love him all the time? You know that kind of love you have for your brother? It's not exactly perfect love. I'm going to tattle on Robin because she has a little brother. And her little brother, I love this story. Her little brother was always trying to get her into trouble when they were kids. There was one time he bit himself on the arm really hard and went crying to Mom, "Robin bit me. Robin bit me." Robin's mother called Robin into the room and said, "Did you bite your brother?" And she looks at the bite and she says, "No." "Well, what's this then?" She said, "Well, if I bit him, it would look like this." And she bit him. If you're going to get in trouble, you might as well go get in trouble for something you did, right? "But I love you like a brother." And Jesus asked again, "Do you love me unconditionally?" And Peter said, "I love you like a brother." See, Peter, the great apostle, he couldn't even go as far as to say that he had agape love for God. Wow. One of the greatest leaders of the church ever was having a hard time with agape. And the third time Jesus asked him, he said, "Do you love me like a brother?" Finally, Peter could answer the question, yes. Called to love at a higher level than he did. Just as we are called to love at higher levels than we do. As we are called to lose our temper, but not in the way we usually lose our temper. We're called to get rid of it, to cast our tempers away, rather than have a bad one. To love in the way that God loves us. And it's hard, so hard. Not like faith, not like hope. Love is hard. But we are called to it. We're called to remember it. Even with the people we don't want to love. Even with the people we don't think we need to love, even the people we think we're not supposed to love, you're supposed to love them. You're supposed to love them. Let us not forget that. The next time you're in a parking lot, the next time you're about to lose your temper, the next time you're about to do about anything, ask yourself if you're loving without condition, and remind yourself, if you need to, that it would be a good time to do that. Amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And our good and final word for today is love. Surprise! Not just love, but agape love. That perfect love that is so hard to do. I know I've got a long way to go in improving it in my life. Everybody does. It's so hard. But that's our goal, isn't it? Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love one another. Paul even said the greatest of these is love. And it's so hard. But we continue to strive. We continue to work on it. And that's my charge to you this week. This service is over. Your service must now begin. Go from this place, loving, agape-ing. Amen.